Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference call for the 4th of July, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is, it's over. Before we get into the topic, we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cumriambith, which of course means Wales forever. We will take callers later on in the program. We are anticipating a call-in from a brother in a foreign country. Alex should be calling in to share some information with us here. Yahweh willing, of course. And we are in the question and answer mode, which means, of course, that you are muted upon contacting us and then pressing *6 on your phone or the ask question button on your computer. Our website, of course, is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And we have a daily mail page there where we try to keep it updated frequently. Sometimes when I'm on the road, of course, that's not possible, but try to keep you up to date with what's going on in this crazy, insane world that we live in today. So again, we have a lot of, just checking our guests here, checking a lot of things going on in the world today. Real quick, right off the top, I lost my very close cousin, Zane, a few days ago. He was in the hospital with recovering from a motorcycle accident. That's two of them within 3 years. And he was doing quite well, actually. I've seen pictures that some of the family posted. He looked cheery and bright-eyed and was actually coming around quite nicely, and then all of a sudden 2 days ago we get the phone call that he's passed away, apparently from a blood clot. The family members said he was not injected with the jab. However, when you're taken to the hospital in an ambulance from an accident, it's difficult to know exactly what the medical profession has done to your loved ones. Unless you're in the room with them constantly, there's no way to know what they have done or not done. The unfortunate thing is it was a blood clot, apparently, that took his life. And at the same time, within 24 hours, two other members of my close family lost very good friends in their 30s and 40s to some very strange anomalies, because they were all in good health, so it was totally unexpected, and all of a sudden they're gone, and we have not yet found out yet whether they had been vaccinated or not. My question to our brothers and sisters around the world would be, why would you put this substance in your body for any reason? I mean, come on, let's think about it for a second. What does it buy you? They're still saying that they want you to comply with the control mechanisms, social distancing, mask wearing, etc., which is all a means of torture and control, whether you put it in your body or not. So what is the advantage? Do people actually believe vaccines work? And some people say, well, some of them do, Dan. No, there are plenty of accredited individuals who have stated that no vaccine works. That sounds reasonable to me because mankind has been on this earth for a very long time. And Yahweh gave us a mechanism called the immunity system to prevent us from getting ill when we come in contact with germs, microbes, viruses, whatever. And that has worked for a very, very long time. Now, the people that try to change history will try to tell you that we've lost millions of people due to this plague or that plague, and only to find out that conditions were not the same. Many times the things that we did, like the 1918 Spanish flu, the people that were dying were mostly military men who had been vaccinated and were wearing masks. And they actually killed the majority of the people, not the so-called malaria and the other flu-type microbes. So again, we get parts of the story, but not the whole story. And because of that, people are dying. But they want you to live in fear so that you will allow the government and its agencies to control your life and to keep you in line. And that is the problem. So again, based on logic alone, why would you put an untested, unapproved substance in your body? I talked to Pastor Greg, who again has been a guest on this program many times, and he worked in the pharmaceutical industry for 20 years. And he's told me recently that he's lost many family and friends over the issue of the vax. And he asks his friends and his family members, can you tell me one ingredient in this substance that they inject into you? And of course, like most of the cattle that walk this earth, the ignorant cattle, they have no clue what's in it. They don't know a single ingredient. And according to Greg, there's over 20 different substances in these serums. These people are injecting it into their bodies. They haven't got a clue, and yet these people will go down to the grocery store and read the labels, at least I hope they are, on many of the things that they buy to consume, and yet they will let somebody in the medical profession inject them with something they have no knowledge of its ingredients, no knowledge whatsoever. I mean, come on, that defies logic. It defies reason. So again, we're looking into the loss of our loved ones here over the past 5 days, especially my cousin who was very close to me both as children growing up, and we're very close in age. And I realize a lot of people think that when you've reached my age that you're just old, quote, old, used up, so to speak. But my cousin Zane and I have maintained our health fairly well. So we figured we had decades to go yet, where we could still accomplish a few things. And in Zane's case, he has many grandchildren, and some of them are being recruited by colleges and the pros for basketball and football. So talented individuals. As I have a granddaughter who is being playing basketball for a university and may go on to a professional. But the main thing is that we have these mysterious things going on. Why would people trust agencies that lie to us consistently? Why do our people have so little faith in our Heavenly Father and our ancestors? Why do they have so little faith in their own ability to reason? It kind of boggles my mind, because I was raised by very strong family members, shall we say, elders, who believed in our race and believed in our faith, and they taught us all to trust those things. And yet I was found myself in a country where people don't honor that. I was sent to see a psychiatrist once because I answered questions on a pre-employment application honestly and morally, and they thought that there was something wrong with me until I talked to the psychiatrist, and he said, there's nothing wrong with you, but why do you answer the questions based on the Bible? You see what I mean? Our society is alien to the principles of the Founding Fathers and the Scriptures. We have become Antichrist as a nation. So on this 4th of July, where we celebrate 245 years of existence, we've about reached the end. That's why the entitled program today, It's Over. Because the Holy Spirit is leading me to say that it is over. No more people are going to wake up. If you have not woke up by now, you're never going to wake up. I believe we've reached the end. With all the information that's out there, there's no reason whatsoever that anybody would put this substance in their body. None whatsoever. And personally, I'm pretty much done as far as trying to reach anybody with information about substances such as this vaccination. Not only that, but there is no authority, whether it's medical or government, there is no man-made authority to force you to put a substance in your body. They don't have it. It doesn't exist. Whether you want to talk constitutional at the state or federal level or any other man-made institution level, they do not possess the authority to force you to put something in your body. Now, there's all kinds of rumors going around that they're going to legislate it or whatever to force you to comply. But I would ask people to take note of the fact that they haven't had to do that. People are lining up voluntarily to put this toxic serum within their bodies. They have acquiesced to government. And you can see that by those that have a dirty diaper on their face, or they're social distancing, or doing any of the other insane things that these monsters called government and healthcare professionals are demanding, or even sometimes just suggesting, and yet people run around like they're trusted voices and we have to comply. We don't. The time of testing is almost over, because that's what this is, a test. Do you have faith in your Heavenly Father, your Creator? Do you understand the country that you live in and the Founding Fathers and documents, such as the Constitution and the Bill of Rights? Do you understand them? Do you understand the contents of the Federalist Papers, such as Federalist Paper number 2, where John Jay makes it very clear that this country was founded by and for white Europeans? Nobody else. And yet we have succumbed to the mental brainwashing of the Jews via the images controlled by the beast system called flat screens, whether it's televisions, movie theaters, cell phones, tablets, or computers. It doesn't matter. If it's got a flat screen, then it's projecting images controlled by the Antichrist, unless you take steps to prevent it. As with all things that are created on this earth, our Heavenly Father allows them to be used for good or evil. So technology all by itself is not necessarily evil. Technology is allowing us to do miraculous things, such as have this program this morning, where we have people listening all over this earth. And we're able to communicate with each other and share ideas and truths. So technology alone is not what's evil. What's evil is the people and how they use it. It's my personal opinion that we are near the end of the period of time that Yahweh is allowing people to repent, which means to rethink, and to come out of this beast system. I and many of the people that I know have yet to put a diaper on our face. And there are people telling me that that's impossible. No, it's not impossible. Yahweh provides ways that you can get around these draconian measures. It's just that our people are too lazy. For instance, one of our brothers, his parents went and got the serum put in their arms because they plan on taking a vacation and they want to fly. Now, some people might say that that's a God-given right to fly in an airplane. Actually, it's not. Okay? So the choice should be that, well, I won't fly. Well, Dan, that's impossible. Today we have to sometimes go to a funeral, or we have to go to a graduation, or we want to go visit. Well, what did they do 1,000 years ago? What did they do 500 years ago before airplanes existed? Did we always travel between continents and states to attend functions? Of course not. It took weeks, if not months, of travel to reach many places. And yet we survived. You have to start thinking with your head and not with your emotions, folks. I haven't been on an airplane in years, many years. I may not be able to attend the funeral of my closest cousin because the distance is just too great and I will not fly. I have to get there by automobile. And in some cases, traveling by automobile may be difficult for some people, either due to physical limitations or financial situations, or, as in my case, my automobile is pretty old. I'm not sure it'll make it. The point of it is, you have to think outside the box. You've been conditioned to think that we must have all the conveniences that the beast presents to us, when the truth of the matter is that the things that Yahweh requires for life and productive life are rather small. A lot of the glitz and glitter that Yahweh's enemies present to you that you believe are necessities really aren't. When you get right down to it, they're not necessities. So again, repentance is rethinking and reprioritizing things in your life. And this July 4th would be a good time to do that because we may not have another. 245 years we've existed, which is about the average length of time an empire or a country exists before it falls into decay due to the fact that the descendants of the founders reject their teachings and their wisdom. Most of the young people today don't even have a clue as to how this country came into existence and who did it. They're believing their flat screen images of the beast, images controlled by the beast, and all of the make-believe feel-good things that they pump into their heads in universities and public schools and through media, so that they have no idea what the hell's going on. So some people are saying this could be the last fourth that we'll see. Even the people that do honor it, there are a lot of people, tens of millions of people in this country, that the 4th of July is meaningless to them other than to get a day off work, shoot off fireworks, and have a picnic. They don't honor our heritage at all. Serious times, folks, serious times. And again, the Father's laying it very heavily on my heart that time is almost over. The time of repentance, the grace period for our people is almost over. If they haven't figured it out by now, it's pretty certain they never will. Now, if the rumors about these substances is true, and from the evidence of loved ones being ill and some of them dying due to these things, if all of that is true, we may see a drastic reduction in the number of people walking this earth very, very soon. And it's becoming apparent to many people that I talk to that some of the people closest to you, you're going to watch them pass over, expire, die. But again, they made the choice. It isn't like we lied to them. It isn't like we encouraged them. They chose to believe in idols called government, healthcare professionals, who in many times are financially compromised, and there is always a conflict of interest between the pharmaceutical industry, the medical establishment, and government. Conflicts of interest everywhere. But again, Yahweh gave his people the ability to discern between truth and lies, fiction and fact. If, again, people can't figure this out, it may be that they're not meant to. And I know that bothers a lot of people because they have loved ones, family members, etc. But you got to remember, the scriptures are very, very clear that going into the kingdom age, Father said, nothing that offends me will be allowed to enter it. And the lying beast system won't tell you the truth about what offends him. And yet the scriptures that they all carry around that has been written in all kinds of languages to make it very clear, he doesn't want liars. He doesn't want gossipers. He doesn't want cowards. He doesn't want idol worshipers. It's pretty plain. He doesn't want people with foreign substances injected, poisons, voluntarily into their bodies. He doesn't want bastards, half-breeds. He doesn't want contamination in his garden, his paradise. And obviously, he doesn't want kidnappers, rapists, pedophiles, and murderers. Obviously. And this world is full of all of those. The transsexuals. The homosexuals. All the things that he abhors. The race mixers. He makes it very, very clear. So when you apply his criteria to entrance into the kingdom, that tells you right there that there are many people that you know that won't make it. So is this serum Yahweh's way to eliminate those people? Well, only he knows for sure. But if you think about it, it certainly is an interesting thing that the people lining up to put this in their bodies fit the description of those who are not fit for the kingdom. Is that not true? And consequently, and juxtaposed to those people are the people of faith who trust in the Father, who will defy the beast, even up to and including the cost of their lives, which many people I know have made that commitment, that we will not voluntarily allow them to disarm us, to remove us from our homes, or to stick foreign substances in our bodies, or convince us to live other than natural lives in plenty of sunshine with fresh air without putting a contaminated diaper on our face. Yahshua said in the book of Luke and elsewhere that his flock was a tiny flock. As you look around you, that's pretty apparent. Now, the good news is that there are many people waking up. There was a case in Canada recently where people got in their cars and they blockaded a major road coming into a province, and they would not allow any trucks coming into the province that were carrying these contaminated substances for the people. My own son quit a very lucrative job because of their increasing pressure that he wear a diaper and deliver vaccines. And his conscience would not allow him to continue with that, and so he is struggling financially, but they are able to live as a family without compromising their values. So this is quite a strange 4th of July, when normally it's very festive, and yet it's a very somber period because of the situation we find ourselves in. So many sick people, so many have been harmed by the medical establishment and the lying media and the liars within government. So many people are harmed. And yet, the glimmer of hope that many are turning the corner, and with Yahweh's help, of course, we shall prevail over our enemies who would like to destroy all of us. They've made it very clear, especially white males. White males who believe in the scriptures, white males who believe in the Second Amendment, we are the target. We are the target. Okay, we've got a caller here. Also, hold on just a second. Let's see if I can get the software to work.
Hi.
Okay, Jennifer. Can
Hi,
you hear me?
Pastor Jim. Good morning. Or is it still morning where you're at?
Yep, technically it's still morning, yes.
Oh, okay. Are you on the West Coast or East Coast today? I know you come and go.
I'm on the Well, I'm on the east coast of the country, the west coast of Florida.
Oh, you're in Florida. Did you? Oh, thank you for sending me the article by John Kaminsky. I posted it to the Sons of Liberty.
Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. That was kind of a somber article. Poor Trump. But, you know, I mean, you know who he backs. And then DeSantis, you know, I was shocked, you know, about what happened with the thing that went down, you know, in the Miami buildings. And then I researched who owned them, their last names, of course, Echo, Echo, Echo. And anyway, you know, and then now he's giving certain groups of people special privileges for their own little police, like the Chamron. I mean, it's they're still moving into those directions. And I had to go back yesterday and listen to Chuck Baldwin's talk on the proselytes and the Pharisees. I spent almost the whole night listening to that, you know. And, yeah, so we're in some very strange times, that's for sure. But hopefully most of us are living in places that there aren't as many restrictions. I'm in northern New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I have a Colorado phone number. Because my son worked for AT&T in Colorado, and when he got me a new phone, it gave me Colorado, which is fine, you know, because I come and go, because I'm right about near the border there. And anyway, so I went and visited Laura. She said to say hi, you know, Laura that lives out there that had that talk show Once Upon a Time.
Yes.
Yes, and... spend some time with her, and we may start putting together a talk show. She wants to use my voice because she says her Alabama accent isn't that great, you know. So, I mean, I've done commercials for our DWI program here in the counties that I work for, and so people always go, oh, you know, you should do that, really. I don't want to work in media, but, you know, for a good cause, I would do it, you know, for Laura's sake. So, but I live in Colfax County, and I couldn't believe that most of the people that went out and got the shot, I was shocked that they were coming from Angel Fire and Eagle's Nest, which is the most Republican part of our county. And they, you know, I mean, I was like, oh, they filled 600 slots for these people, you know, like the first week for the Pfizer or whatever. I was like, my gosh, what's wrong with them? You know, I don't know for sure if they were the residents, you know, that work at the restaurants and this and that, but it was shocking to see that that was happening. And the, you know, the part of, I live in a town called Springer, which is just south of Raton, and we probably have 50% vaccinated in this town. But I just wanted to call in and give you a complaint about my physician, my primary care physician. She works at a major clinic. It's called El Centro Family Health. And she, a friend of mine had supposedly had COVID and was sick for 2 months. And she went in to see her for blood work about, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, the lady that I see. And she told her, you're 70 years old. It's time for you to get the vaccine. And she said, oh, I'm not getting the vaccine. I don't believe in that vaccine. And, you know, why would I do that if I have a good immune system against this now? And she goes, because of your age, you're going to get sick. And my friend got so mad. I think that, you know, I won't go see her anymore when she told me that, you know, that that's what she did, you know. I mean, and I wrote to her. I told my friend, I said, they're getting kickbacks. That's what it is. They're getting kickbacks for everybody that takes the kill shot. So, you know, I mean, I had even emailed that doctor that you could be accountable to the Nuremberg Act if you're not, you know, giving them full disclosure about this, and she never wrote me back. And then on the other hand, my sister-in-law is a physician in Grants, and her husband is a nurse, and they're smart enough. They said they're waiting. They're waiting. All the information I'm sending them, because they're Christians, they're waiting. They're waiting to see how bad it's going to get. But so, I mean, obviously, I'm not going to get it. And I mean, they, like you said, they can't force it. Not in our country, at least. Not, you know. So, what do you think is going to happen in the next year? We're not going to be an independent country anymore by next 4th of July. Do we have time to wake up people?
We're running out of time, this is my opinion. We should have risen up and rebelled already, unless it's the will of the Father, of course, that the sons and daughters just sit back and allow this thing to play out, because it's in his hands. This is his way to find out who the true believers are and those people of faith. And it's also a way to eliminate a lot of the doubters. And again, he does not honor cowards. And when you allow the government and your fears to govern your reactions to things, that's a form of cowardice. So, you know, I'm just getting the feeling, though, that the period of education and grace is coming to a close very soon, and then the judgment will come, and shortly after that, the flame and the fire that destroys the wicked and brings in the kingdom and establishes it is not very far away.
I agree. Now my phone is echoing on me. Maybe I better move around the property. Yeah, I only have a flat screen phone. I don't use my computer. Good. I moved away and now it's not going. So, but yeah, I listen. Have you heard of a guy that has a program, Scott Kesterson, Bards FM?
No.
Well, I think he's friends with Scott McKay. I'm not positive, but, well, I think I send you some information about Scott McKay. I'm not going to mention who he's running around with on this tour that he's with, but it's part of the Robert David Steele, awakening, so to speak, you know, anyway, he's Bards FM is putting on several of the frontline doctors, Sherry Tenpenny and all those people, they're putting on a big festival called Bards Fest in St. Charles, Missouri, August 26th to the 30th or 29th, something like that. And they're going to be having 300 shofars, and they're going to have a whole bunch of programs, one called County by County. A lot of pastors are going to be there. I don't know. I listened to Greg Locke, you know, a few times, and I could take it or leave it, you know, because he gets way, you know, like real loud sometimes, and I don't like pastors that do that. But anyway, so he's going to be there. There's going to be quite a few pastors, and, you know, some you might want to check out, the website. Of course, he's supporting Mike Lindell, trying to help Mike Lindell get out of debt from what's going on with the voter fraud. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm in contact with one of the people that is doing the helping Arizona with the recount, and it's not that I want, you know, that I really care if Trump gets back in. It's just the voter integrity, you know, has to be examined, and I agree with that, you know. But, you know, I mean, that's the most important thing, how the heck they got away with all of that. So,
right.
So what is your assessment on John Kaminsky's article?
Well, I believe a lot of the patriots are done with Trump and his little band of followers, because he just constantly rehashes the same stuff. And he had 4 years. He did not accomplish many of the things he told us he would. And a lot of the things that he gets credit for are just partial, if you want to say good things, whatever. The economy is not doing well. That's a lie. He brags about the vax as if that's a good thing. He has not told the truth. He never did anything to stop Fauci from spreading his lies and misinformation. So the idea that he's the white knight and the savior of mankind is just ludicrous. And people need to be aware of that. It's not a man of flesh that the Father told us to worship and to put all of our faith in. Now, you know, Yahweh can have leaders that our people should be supporting. But again, I never saw anybody in the Trump administration act like they were part of his kingdom builders. I never heard any of them, you know, promote the idea that we should get back to the biblical principles. I never heard them speak out against race mixing or the destruction of the white culture of this country. They had power to do a lot of those things and to bring people like Jeffrey Epstein to justice. None of those things were done. So, you know, I don't know why people think Trump is such a great guy. I don't, you know, and besides that, he never saw a Jewish ass that he didn't think was worth kissing.
Right.
So, you know, where is a person like that my savior and my benefactor? He's not. He's, as far as I'm concerned, he's in bed with the enemy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, some people that just love him so much think that he's the forerunner of Christ or some. I don't know, you know, it's just like crazy. And these are people that immigrated here, like the guy, well, there's a show called Veritas Radio. And,
yes.
You know, and Mel Faberday or whatever Hasselback or whatever his last name is now, He puts up that Trump did do a lot of good stuff, you know, based on the fact that he came from a communist country. I guess he came from Cuba the right way, you know, and all that. But I think it was the ideal of Trump that got people motivated. But I think this whole voting thing, you know, really put a damper. And I'm trying to kind of wake up the groups in New Mexico. I mean, they're really, you know, complaining about our governor because she's pushing the transgender and LGBT, and they just legalized marijuana. So, you know, we're going to have more female hormones in men's bodies because of pot. And, you know, I mean, I realized that after dating potheads, what was going on, you know, because that's what it stimulates. But anyway, so, you know, I'm trying to wake them up, and little by little, I'll just put something out there, you know, like I send them some stuff on Scott McKay hanging around with Sasha Stone. And then I sent, because this guy, you know, he said, I want to know about him because he's going to be talking over at, you know, a place in New Mexico. So I sent him something that from, you know, somebody posted about him being a part of the royal elite from South Africa, and that he's backing these people that are, you know, supposedly pro-Trump, but they're, you know, he's going to sideswipe them and to stay away from those groups like Robert David Steele.
Right. Yeah, Jennifer, we got another caller, so it's a spring.
Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, I like listening. Maybe it's Tim. We'll see. Okay.
Not Kim or any other communist leader from North Korea. Anyway. Okay. Hey there, Pastor Dan.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to the program, Russ.
Yeah, thank you. Haven't been on in a while. I've issues. Yeah, the whole the thing about Trump is he, like you put it so eloquently, but he's in bed with the enemy. His family's been all along. And, the Messiah said that the roots are so tangled, you know a tree by its fruit. Sometimes you want to go by names, you want to go by this or that, but it really comes out. You watch people and listen to them, and what's their behavior. What's happening to this country is the same thing that happened in the Weimar Republic. It's the very same thing they always do. And that is to promote lawlessness. Everything against the law. Everything. They make good evil and evil good. And that's of their father. This is, lawbreaker from the beginning. And the waking people up, geez, that's that is a problem. Sometimes I hit him in the nose and I say, well, who killed more people in work camps, Germans or you guys? Anyway, you know what I'm saying? And most people, they have no clue. And it's out there. That information's out there. But they don't look. It says he calls us. And my sheep hear my voice. And we don't choose him, he chooses us. And that's the hard thing for most people. And it doesn't mean that we're not supposed to, plant seeds and try to communicate, try to get them to understand dire consequences. I had one of the non-Irish say to me, Trump believes in borders. And I said, what, you don't want there to be little Frenchmen anymore? And then the other thing I say, well, when Israel opens the borders to everyone, then maybe we'll consider it. It shuts them right up. Because, it's hypocrisy. And a lot of those folks actually think they're Israel.
Really?
A lot of them actually, yeah, I don't think... I think many of the educated and the purely evil part of that group knows, but they can rationalize anything. If you think you can harm anybody without them breaking the law, as far as I'm concerned, you're nuts. If someone's not breaking the law, if they're doing capital things. Well, that's what he has. Nobody understands. This gay thing. The general Christian, which, I always tell him, hey, there's no such thing as Christianity. There's Hebrewism, ancient Mosaicism, and now there is anointed sons. That's what Christ's son. He says, they will come, my people will be known not as my people. Yet sons of the living God, Christ's anointed sons, Christ's sons, and the indwelling Holy Spirit, and I believe, that's Christ, that is the Messiah in me. It doesn't make me the Messiah, but if you know his words, it brings you to life, and people are not used to hearing words of life. The programming is so amazing. I've known you a long time, Dan, and I worry, but in the end, see, I tell people the reason that they're in back in the old country, it says, bring those that would not have me reign over them and slay them before me.
Right.
That's the reason they're there. The gathering of the bad figs.
Yeah, the gathering of the tares for the burning in the fire.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's all parallel. It's very frustrating. I had a horrible thing in January, Dan. My oldest daughter passed away.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
She loved me more than anybody else in the world. And I hadn't seen her for several months. I was trying to break her up with her boyfriend, but fortunately, 2 days before she passed, I invited her up and fixed her a meal, and we watched a movie, and spent time together. Whenever she was around me, she just smiled from ear to ear. She just loved being with her dad. But the drug usage.
And, oh, boy.
And you know who promotes that? It ain't the Irish.
I know. That's why it's heavy on my heart to bring judgment. And I tell people that, my name, even my father and mother gave me my name at a church. They took it from the Bible. And over the years, I learned that in the Hebrew, it's to judge as God or to be a mighty judge is what Daniel means. Mm-hmm. And then even my middle name is the Greek word for a large hammer, Marcos, large hammer used for defense. And wow. I've always taken that to mean a large hammer or a battle axe being used to defend the innocent and defend our people against assault and attack by the enemies. So even the surname for our family comes from ancient Hebrew, meaning beloved of Yahweh. So it's... The old teachings were that you gave a child a name, not at birth. You would often name him later when you saw what kind of character they had or if they were dedicated, whatever. It wasn't something you did in the hospital immediately upon birth. It was meaning put behind the assigning of a name. And in fact, it's where we get to even the old saying about, I've come in the name of the king. Naming is also authority. So it's not just a expression to get somebody's attention or assign an identifier so you can have a conversation. That's not the purpose. The name was to convey either a mission or a characteristic of the person, such as Yahshua. When Yahshua, the Messiah, walked this earth, Yahshua, his name means Yahweh saves.
Right, Yahweh saves, and then Christ, the anointed. Yahweh saves the anointed.
Yeah, right, he's the anointed one to proclaim Yahweh. Just as the commandment says, there's only one God. There's only one Elohim that will save mankind. There's not three. There's not two. There's one. And he put on flesh, and he walked this earth as an example. And to fulfill his law requiring the husband to die so that he could remarry the bride.
Right.
That's us. Because we were not worthy. Let's face it, as we look around this world today, our people...
I know I'm not worthy.
Our people aren't worthy. Most of them. The vast majority are not.
They said, he said, are you going to leave me too? And they said, where would we go? You have the words of life. And that's the thing, that people, they don't study the word. And that's why they're so easily deceived. It says that our foreheads would be sealed. We'd be given a new name. And that's, I've had folks try to deceive me, try to move me off the point, and they can't because he seals our forehead. And once we are sealed, no matter of deceptions, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So I missed the first part. This COVID thing. One of my friends in Cleveland, and he's in his 50s. He does what I do. And his wife just dropped dead one day. And I don't know if she got the vaccine, but I'm suspicious that that's what happened. I don't know yet. I can't ask the guy that, you know, right after his wife has passed. But awful in his 50s. That's funny. So, yeah, what about Mercola? He's been really working against it. I'm kind of impressed.
Yeah, he's been outspoken, even for the folks that Ella says here, Revelation 3:12, referring to our giving us a new name for people that want to look up a reference. A lot of them, Mike Adams even, has been very outspoken. I don't trust any of them completely, but they have been putting out some good material lately. They're worth listening to, and chew the meat, spit out the bones. Yeah. But you missed the first
one. You know, they try to control both ends of the argument, the Hegelian dialectic. And that's what I think Trump was. It was all planned, is what I feel. So many lies have been promoted, and the people just, I mean, I'm very frustrated.
Oh, yeah. Well, Lane has a comment in here that's kind of interesting. He says that we are now in exactly the same situation as the true Israelites were 3,000 years ago. Yahweh told them to pound sand and allowed the Assyrians to take them into captivity and bondage. That could be what's happening now as well. So,
well, yeah, it's a different type, but we've been in bondage in this country for a number of years. It's literally how we get our credit instruments, by being bond servants.
Right. I was going to ask your daughter that passed, how old was she?
42.
Oh, my gosh, that's young.
Yep.
My goodness. So many people in even my circles as far as friends and family and associates, we've lost so many of them to this pharmaceutical nightmare of illegal and legal drugs. It's just...
Yeah. My youngest daughter, when she was born, I wouldn't give the hospital her name, and I refused. I said, we'll write it down in the family Bible, and I shut him up.
Yeah, I did that with one of my sons, would not name him, and you'd have thought I said I was going to chop his head off in the room in there. They just thought that was just terrible, and I said, well, why? Well, you have to give him a name. And I said, no, I don't. I said, we can name him later on. Well, what do we put on the birth certificate? I said, well, I don't really care, but they ended up putting male child, born to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that, again, it's all part of that control and bond servitude and...
See, we don't do anything right. I wanted to tell everybody about a book I just got. I'm going to contact this person and see if they'll do an interview over this subject, because I've been thinking about this for some time. And it's a little booklet called Honoring My Father and Mother by Sam Simpson. It's a lady, older lady, and Sam is S-A-M-M. But on the back she has the tombstone that she put for her mother, and it says, thank you, Yahweh, and it's spelled in Paleo-Hebrew, for Lisa Simpson, her mother. And she did the same thing for her father. And she has a write-up here. It says, I had the honor and privilege of being with her and laying her body to rest as it should be. Intact, whole, no embalming, no cremation, no funeral industry chemicals or body plugs, wires, glues, or makeup. The story grew much larger than a simple descriptive narrative. It morphed into a tale of my idyllic childhood, seen through the lens of America's self-destruction and its fall from grace. And the reason I think I might ask her on to do an interview is because there's so many references to scripture in the book talking about why she wanted to lay her parents to rest the way our ancestors did. And it fits in perfectly with what has been on my heart about my own passing, in the fact that I do not want to be buried the way people are buried today. I do not want it. I want it the way she describes what she did for her mother and father. And I want to tell people the reason for it and have her explain how she was able to do that in this age where the beast thinks that they can control everything from the moment we're born to our passing, that they have total dictatorial control over us, and so that our loved ones are even abused by this damn system. Not to mention the cost. When my little baby sister died a couple years ago, my brother-in-law told me what it was costing to get a plot and the funeral and the casket and all that. It was unbelievable how much money they want for all these things. And yet, that's not what our father intended, you know.
No. Yeah, everything have to be a transaction, financial transaction.
Right. We got to get back to the basics. We got to get back to living our lives the way the Creator intended versus this dystopia that has been created by Mystery Babylon that we find ourselves in. You know, and that's interesting too. Ella says here, mixing body parts is anti-biblical, not to mention the fact I'm convinced in some cases they are extracting organs or body parts for research or for some other economic adventure at the hospital. Because once they leave our sight, there is no guarantee what these monsters are doing to the bodies of our loved ones. There is no guarantee. People assume that they're honorable and will not commit sacrilege against our people, but that's just not true. So I don't trust them. I don't think any of them are worthy of our trust. And so I'm going to look into that. Just like the Death with Dignity folks that I have contacted, after watching what the medical mafia has done to my mother and my sister and other members of the family, with the starving of them to death, when the medical mafia gives up any attempts or they run out of money, all the insurance money has been spent, then they tell us it's okay to murder them by starving them to death. That, to me, is criminal. Absolutely and 100% criminal. So I'm looking into that as well, because we don't even do that to our animals. I mean, think about that. If you have a family pet who is terminally ill and every day is suffering for that animal, what do you do? Do you go down to the vets and put them on morphine and starve it to death?
No. Again, it's all about promoting, extending so that they can make more credit instruments. It's all about
They extend the stay in the hospital for another week, 8 days, so that that's that much more money in their pocket. I mean, look at the whole COVID thing. It's all about money in their pockets. They're promoting this lie because there's a financial reward.
Right, and the sad thing, most people will say, oh, yeah, I think you're right, there's a conspiracy, but it's just because they want to make money. I said, Bill Gates has already got more money than he can ever spend. It's not about the money. Now, it might be, you know, the other folks, you know, they're not in that position, but I honestly believe it's a combination of things. Did you saw that video about him working on a vaccine to lower your ability to have strong feelings? You know, they claim religious feelings, but you can't isolate it's any strong feelings whatsoever. You know, just like a lobotomy. I don't know if you saw that video.
Yeah, I've seen not only Gates, but the one that the guy was briefing admirals and generals of the United States military about how they mm-hmm. were bragging that they had found the what they called the God gene, and
right.
through injections they would be able to turn off that gene so that people could not be enthusiastic about their faith.
Right. Yeah, that's so. I think it's population control. It's the most evil thing ever, and it's beyond words.
Yeah? Absolutely. Well, that'd be a good question for you and Jennifer. Is I've stated that I think we're very close to the end of the grace period, and judgment is about ready to come down on our heads. How do you guys feel? I'll start with you, Russ.
Well, the judgment, with all these things happening, I mean, it's proof of it right now. I mean, it's proof. If you won't stand up and follow what the gospel tells you to do, well, you're judged already. And so many people really don't, you know, if you ever go into a regular church, they only allow me in there once.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I ask some hard questions that brings out the truth. And I'm like, wow, man, well, I don't think this is a place for you. Oh, well,
right.
I think it is. I think it, you know, we're just, you know, at the turn of the century, the Caucasian, whether they're all Israel or not, or just the general Adam kind, was the most populous people on the planet. And now, 100 years later, we're, you know, getting less and less.
Right. I got a little bit of a glitch going on here with my program.
Okay.
Can you guys hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, there's some weird things happening, and that seems to be happening frequently here lately. How about you, Jennifer? Where do you think we are on the timeline?
I don't know. I'm following a guy from South Africa. His name is Lewis Ranke, and he's got a really good thing on the end times, and I've been listening to it, and it seems like, you know, 3.5 years more, you know, because their plans are, you know, to have the population reduced by 2015, thanks to Bill De- or 2025, thanks to Bill Deagle's, you know, I mean, putting that out there probably was a form of mind control in a way, but it looks like, you know, they're trying to set the stage for something, and it'll probably come out of Israel, according to him, whatever it's going to be. So, anyway.
Okay.
I don't.
Well, the good news is that what we as the body of believers in our Father Yahweh, what we do on a day-to-day basis doesn't change. So
right.
no matter where we are, it's not really that critical, because our obligations to Him remain the same day in and day out. And so that's why I tell people I don't really worry about it. Well, you know, it's going to happen the way it's supposed to happen. It's His plan, not my plan. It's not anybody listening to this program's plan. It's His plan. So it will play out exactly as He sees fit. The question is, are you going to be counted with the goats or the sheep? So if you're in the pen with the sheep, you don't have much to worry about. But if you're going to be with the goats, then you have a lot to worry about.
I think the focus is to move away from the natural man and into the spiritual world more and more over the next 3 years as much as possible. I mean, unfortunately, I have osteoporosis and I have to try to eat a lot, and I don't like that idea because I've never been much of a big eater, but in order to stay healthy, I had to go, you know, I'm like, you know, storing food like it's going out of style, but I don't want to work that hard, but we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah.
I got a 40-pound or 50-pound bag of Anasazi beans from Laura and her husband, you know, and I'm like, can't even get them out of the back of my car. The thing is so heavy. So I'm waiting until somebody else that lives in my apartment complex can bring it in for me. But
wow.
Yeah, I'm doing all that, you know, all that beans and rice and, you know, storage, you know, and because, you know, you keep hearing all these little rumors that they're going to do this to our electricity, they're going to do this to the water, you know, and I think if we keep focusing on that, our powerful minds can create it, but it does pay to have backup food in the home, you know. I have probably about 3 months worth, so, but don't tell anybody. I'll share with my neighbors, but I don't want anybody coming from Mexico to, you know. No, I'm just kidding, but anyway, yeah, so, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, we've talked about that on this program for many years. I used to interview Thomas Chittum, the guy that wrote Civil War II, The Coming Breakup of America, and because he was a military guy and he had spent his career in the military, he was engaged in three different campaigns where the countries that he was in went into the dystopia that we're talking about. And so he had a very good handle on what happens when social order collapses and you get into what we call should hit the fan phase. And in his book, he talks about what you should do, and so have many other people like Stephen Barry, the Resistor, and other special forces guys I've talked to. And they've all said that if you wish to survive, you've got to have a minimum of 3 months' worth of not just food, but you've got to have a way to obtain water, food, medicine, and a way to protect yourself and stay hunkered down for a minimum of 3 months. He said you have a pretty good chance of survival because in the first 3 months is when most of the violence and the dying happens. He said, if you have enough stuff to stay hunkered down for 6 months, you have a very, very good chance of surviving in the campaigns that he was in. 6 months, and you could almost guarantee it. So I told people, you know, and I grew up in Amish country, and every farmhouse in Amish country has a large pantry and a storehouse of food and supplies, because that's just the way they live. And in where I lived, all the farmers, we kept supplies because if it was a rough winter, you might not get off the farm with 6 foot of snow on the roads and things like that. It was understood that it's easy to be in a position, whether it's flooding or snows or things such as that, to where you're not going to be able to run to the store. And so you want enough of your material on hand that you can stay put until the weather clears or the situation dissipates. So it's common sense.
Right. I was just listening to the beginning of Thomas Chittum's book again recently, so while I do my morning walk. I have it on my phone.
If I remember right, and I read the book many, many years ago, and I believe Thomas is either passed on or he's not in very good health up in Canada now, but if I remember correctly, in the book, he predicted the collapse to be very close to what you predicted, Jennifer. And then at the end of the book, he had a list of things that if these things happen, you might, that timeline might be pushed forward. And the last time I looked at the book, almost everything he had on that list was happening in this world.
Well, in New Mexico, we don't have the race war that they were hoping we would have. You know, between the Hispanics and the whites, pretty much everybody gets along around here. I mean, actually, you know, a lot of our state has flipped to red. You know, not that that's going to be that much better, but they're seeing the light and they're having a lot of rallies. They're doing county by county things around here, you know, to try to support the sheriffs. You know, our 30. I think we have 29 or 28 out of 30. No. 30 out of 33 of our sheriffs are still constitutional sheriffs. So, you know, our governor is, I'd rather not even go how crazy it's getting with her. They're trying to get rid of her, you know, but, I mean, I don't know. She's really got a lot of George Soros behind her that's keeping her in spot. And I don't, you know, and I mean, she's pushing the LGBT movement, which, we'll work fine once we get the marijuana here. I'm not against, you know, marijuana for people, but from what I have noticed, it makes men very effeminate, and it's really disturbing. So that's just, you know.
Well, like all things, you have to be careful whether you're talking about farm foods or things like marijuana. There's such a thing as organic, natural marijuana versus the GMO'd and the doctored and laced stuff that's on the street. So, you know, and just like birth control pills, part of the problem with our men today is birth control pills with the estrogen that's in them. Because estrogen gets into the water table, because women take the pill, then obviously they're going to go to the bathroom. It gets into the water table, and estrogen cannot be filtered out. Mm-hmm. And so the estrogen levels of both males and females is off the charts today. And it wreaks havoc with them, especially the men. Men weren't made to handle a large dose of estrogen. And it's creating very effeminate men today, especially if they're drinking just plain tap water versus some kind of reverse osmosis or purified by rainwater, etc., those kind of things, because the water tables in most municipal areas and stuff that's, you know, on city water, it's going to have a high dose of estrogen in it. So it's just, we have contaminated so many things. The scripture that says, if he did not return, no flesh would be saved. We're really close to that period right now. Really close. Because even believers have to breathe the same air everybody else is breathing. Even believers have to grow their food in the contaminated soils that they've contaminated almost everywhere. So you have to be very careful where you're getting your foods from, your water supply, even your medicines. I mean, can you trust these people are the ones that are putting your medicines together in some factory in China outside the purview of any inspection over here, even if they were good people? It's being done in a country they hate your guts. And their plan is to overthrow your country at some point. Does that make sense? There are certain pharmaceuticals that are 100% made in China, if that's believable. I mean, how in the hell did we ever get to where we're so dependent on a foreign country, especially a communist country, who has talked about destroying us as long as they've existed?
Yeah, and they're, you know, they were sending those masks that, you know, I mean, Lorraine Day said there's fibers in the PCR test. You know, she said she looked at it under a microscope, and so I saw a picture of the people working on that, you know, in one of those sweatshops from China, and I just couldn't believe it. It was filthy, dirty conditions, and they're sending us this stuff, and our county went wild, and they, you know, I mean, not our county, the city, they put that stuff on everybody's door, you know. I'm like, I'm not using this. I mean, I went and got something from, you know, from Patrick Wood, you know, saying that I don't need to wear a mask, and I wore one for the first week, and then a local hardware store said, get out of here with that. We don't require masks. We don't want you to see you with a mask on. I said, well, the reason is because you guys have emphysema. I thought maybe, you know, maybe you didn't get, you know, it was for your personal, you know, well, or health. And she said, are you kidding me? We don't, you know, we don't. And so our city has never had any restrictions except for when you walk into the restaurant, then you could take it off when you sit down. But yeah, a lot of the people around here still wear those blue masks, and I tell them you should just go and get, you know, one of your own if you're going to wear one, because those have toxic stuff in them. And they don't listen to me because they're free. So they bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Well, they've been conditioned to trust what's referred to by the communists as their trusted voices, the Faucis, the Burks, the NIH, the WHO people. We're conditioned from childhood in the public schools that all of these institutions and governments are the, quote, educated people, and we must obey them. That's the conditioning. And if only the people with the Holy Spirit of the Most High operating within their bodies, they're the only people that don't trust these people and don't listen to them. When this first started, I said Fauci is a liar and a piece of shit. I said it the day he came on Fox News for the first time. I wouldn't even buy a used car from that guy. He is a fraud and a criminal. I can tell just by the way he looks and talks. And yet people are running around like he was God Almighty with the information on this fake pandemic. And it's because I've learned since Vietnam, the media lies, the government lies, the military lies. I learned that as a 19-year-old during the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
So not only the Holy Spirit working within me, but just paying attention to what the hell's going on. There is no trusted voice. I said that as a young airman in the United States Air Force. I said, all of these people, including my recruiter, drill instructors, commanders at the squadron, lied. During the Vietnam War, everything I knew to be true was lied about in the media. And then I go into nuclear power, and it's the same thing. Every article I read in the local papers was a lie. The corporations that run the power plants lie. The project managers lie. The engineers lie. Because it's all about making money. It's all about going along with the narrative. Don't make waves, Dan. Just do what they say. Because they might fire you, or they might put a bad boy letter in your file, On and on and on it goes. I even became a union steward for the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. They lie. Everybody lies. I like the book Pat Shannon wrote, Everything You Ever Told Me Was a Lie. He wrote that in 2010. Can you imagine what he could add to the book now?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, do you know who Cliff High is?
Yes.
Well, I just watched a thing with him, you know, and he mentioned that, I'm really worried because I have a feeling my son's about ready to get the jab. And he said that he's not pushing a brand or anything. Carbon 60 might help move, you know, get the metals out. Other people are saying EDTA, you know, from this new thing. And I don't know. I mean, Sherry Tenpenny, they're trying to find out if people can be detoxed off of it, you know, but.
Right. That's pine needle tea and C60. Yeah, they're all supposed to help. But the point of it is, you know, Benjamin Franklin had a saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Right.
Okay. Wise, wise, wise words. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The prevention is don't put that shit in your body. Period.
Right. Right. Yep.
Then you don't have to worry about the pound of cures.
Well,
where do I get it? Will it be legal? Will they provide it? Blah, 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 blah. Well, if you don't put it in your body, you don't have to worry about it. It's just like, we're going into heaven or hell, Dan. Well, if you get right with the Father, guess what? You don't have to worry about it.
I can't tell my son anything. He's totally, he's at an age, even though I had him very late in life, that he's 28 years old and he thinks he knows everything, and he works for the Colorado Rockies, and you know, he's their he's a video editor, and he does a lot of, you know, camera work on the field and all that, and all the people that work there, you know, I mean, I said to him, you know, you gotta owe it to Trevor Story. He didn't get the vaccine. He's a devout Christian. He knows better. And he goes, oh, no, we had 100% of the players. And I said, I don't think so. And then he goes, oh, when he went and looked it up, and he said, oh, you might be right. It's probably Trevor that's holding out. And I'm like, I bet it is. You know, it's like, what, you know, and you know what his remark to me was? Oh, well, that's probably the reason he's doing so bad this year is probably because he didn't take the vaccine. I could not believe he said that to me. You know, but my son hadn't got it yet. I don't know if he has. I can't talk to him about it. But, you know, because he had COVID, and my brother-in-law warned him that his immune system is already fully capable to, you know, to destroy the next year's pathogen, but yet, you know, I don't know what it is. It's almost like a badge of honor for them to get this. I don't know what's wrong with our youth. Oh,
they've been brainwashed. And again, you know, a prophet is never accepted in his own hometown. So your odds of reaching family members is pretty small.
Well, what happened?
You got to come from 1,000 miles away.
Right.
Pardon me? That, you know, at 9/11, when 9/11 happened, you know, I was already listening to David Icke back then. So I kind of, you know, so when that happened, we were, you know, my son was like 9 years old, and we were walking through. I was working at a hotel, and we were walking through the rooms, and he was helping me, you know, strip the beds and all that. And he said to me, Mom, how did they know so quick that guy did that? You know, with the pictures of Osama bin Laden. Osama bin Laden, Osama bin, and I said, I hope you keep asking these questions when you get older. And I don't know what happened. Well, he had, I sent him to a town that says Jesus is Lord over Capitan. That's where he went to elementary school. But the history teacher was a progressive. The rest of the teachers were Christians there. And I don't know what happened, you know. I mean, I'm like, but, you know, then when he went off to college, he voted for Gary Johnson. He said, I don't want anything to do with either of these people, you know. I mean, so I thought that he had some consciousness in his head. But then, you know, now, I don't know. I think what he said to me is, I have to do what it will take to keep my job because I love my job.
He loves it. You know, the truth.
And then I said, well, you know, you could probably go work for Ben Swan because you're a content creator. He does stuff on Spotify too, but not, it's like a game show, but it's not for money. I mean, he's very talented. He has no reason to only be looking at sports broadcasting as a career. I mean, he's very talented, but there's nothing I could do about it. He's still at that age that, you know, I think he'll probably settle into his maturity if he makes it to 30. But we'll see.
Yep.
I just pray for him.
He's very fun, but I don't know. We just, again, you either love your truth or you don't. Hosea 4:6 and Malachi 4, all the rest. If you're not a lover of the truth, then you're going to go down. I mean, that's his pronouncement against our people.
It says that God will send a deluding spirit.
Right.
I mean, it's not even, if you don't love the truth, you know, truth stood before Pontius Pilate. And that's why I find no fault in him. He had the truth in front of him. And this is a lot of times, even dealing with the wicked. One more quick thing I'm gonna go. Everyone you meet is 100% correct in their own mind. Because a person does not rise above their words. And so they've internalized and have been provided for them because people want their religion to be spoon-fed to them, their history, their politics, everything spoon-fed to them. They're just receiving and not any critical thought about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
God, Yahweh bless. I'm going to go talk to you.
All right, Russ. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Happy Fourth.
Dan, you know my story. I told you about being raised in a Jewish family, adopted into a Jewish family. And my dad wasn't hardcore, but my mother's side of the family were, the last name was Mark. So there was a lot of communist tendencies and the usual suspects. And, you know, I fractured my pelvis in 2019, but I was already listening to only Chuck Baldwin, you know, but now I've opened my mind. I mean, I didn't, you know, I wasn't following Christianity. I was a yoga teacher, and I really don't feel like that's, you know, not for the spiritual part, just for the stretching and breathing.
Right.
I don't do yoga like, you know, like, I mean, I'll just do some yoga stretches after I walk and stuff. But you know, I, all of a sudden, you know, after I fractured my pelvis, this was before COVID, I mean, I was on all these anti-you-know-who websites because of, thank God, I met, you know, heard Chuck Baldwin over and over and over the years, you know, and I started seeing the light in that direction about, those are the ones from the synagogue of Satan, you know, and from the Bible, you know, and I mean, there's a lot out there that And of course, I've been arguing with people, you know, about who the bride is and this and that, you know, and they're saying, oh, no, they're going to get saved too. There's a remnant, you know, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to worry about them, you know. It's about my own salvation right now. But, you know, oh, you got to pray for them. You got to pray for them. You know, I have a lot to work out. My mom's brother was a pedophile. He was in the Jewish mafia in San Diego, you know, and he intermarried with a cousin, you know, or something like that, or he was dating a cousin, and there were pedophiles in the neighborhood. I mean, there was a guy five doors down that had comic books and pornography, and then I read recently, you know, in the last 5 years, that was a big thing that they had. They were selling Richie Rich and Veronica and Betty, and they'd have pornography in the same place, and all the kids would go in there to see their, you know, to see the comics. In the meantime, the kids were getting exposed to pornography, you know, in our neighborhood at a very young age. And, you know, I mean, it's just, it was all, you know, like 70% Jews in the area that I grew up in. And so all of my friends were Jewish, and I haven't talked to any of them now. They all hate me. You know, I mean, they don't hate me. It's just that obviously they don't agree if they see me putting anything up on Facebook. Let's put it that way. So, you know, I was baptized by my biological family members, Lutheran. Was it 20 years ago? Or 30 years ago, I was baptized Lutheran. But they said to me, we need to save you. And I go, save me from what? And they said, here's the daily word, you know, from the Lutheran. And I said, well, I have that from Unity and Science of Mind, okay, because that's what we did in AA in those days. Everybody went to Unity Church in Santa Fe, and they said, well, not just from that, we need to save you. And I think they were, you know, directly, you know, saying because I was raised in a Jewish family. But, you know, I mean, God bless them, you know. They were very humble people, that group. But in the meantime, you know, so just the last 3 years, you know, I bought the Chuck Baldwin edition Matthew Henry Bible, and I've been in the Bible pretty much, you know, at least 2 hours a day, every day, you know, and trying to learn and learn and learn and learn, because we only have 3.5 years left. So, you know, but I don't plan on becoming a minister. I'll leave that to Laura, you know, because we're going to be probably palling around together, and because we don't live that far from each other. So, you know, so, I mean, it's all new for me. I don't know if you've heard of this guy, Reneke from South Africa. I could probably send you one of his videos on the end times or on some of the things, the basic precepts, the way he teaches. It's easy for beginners to learn through him, and they do it, and they have Afrikaners there too. I guess that's a mixed breed of whites and Africans that live in South Africa. I don't know, but I mean, it only shows him, and he's a white guy, you know, he's white, and he's very good. He's very good for people that are not educated in how to connect all the dots between the different books of the Bible. I mean, the different, you know, Daniel and Jeremiah, you know, and he really goes through it precisely. And if I had a computer, I could be doing things better. I have one, but I don't have internet, and I refuse to put a cell, you know, a disc in my yard or do any of that. I just don't want to be hooked up that way. So everything I do, yeah. The less we already, you know, I moved in this place that was empty, and they did not have smart meters. And then I, you know, put in for the lease, And they put in a smart meter right before I moved in, and I ended up having to put Shungite all over, tape it all over the smart meter, and I don't know if that's, you know, if that's helping keep the frequency out of the apartment.
Well, from what I've heard anyway, Shungite's a good filter, but, you know, we can talk about that at a different time. And, yeah, send me a link. I'll check out that Reinke guy and see what he's got.
Yeah. I'll send you, do you want me to just go with the end times prophecies that he has, or just, he has one called the basics. This saved a good friend of mine from California. She got sober in AA, but she had been on a drunk. And when this all happened, she got laid off from her job and she's been on unemployment. And she totally sobered up. She got off of Xanax. She got off of everything. And, you know, she says that if I want to learn, this is the beginning way to learn with this guy. He's so precise. He uses so does the pastor I listen to every morning. The Bible that has only Greek, and it's got Greek and Hebrew in it. What is that called?
It's either an interlinear or the Apostolic Bible Polyglot has all Greek in it.
It was something else. I know it's on
the Septuagint.
The what?
Septuagint. That's the Greek Old Testament.
No, it's not interlineal. It's kind of like, I don't know. She said that it's the best Bible to have. I said, well, I have the Matthew Henry Study Bible. That should be good enough for now. And it's a one word. It's one word. Amplified, the Amplified Bible.
Oh, okay.
And Laura said that she would give me hers because she, I don't know what, you know, she's got like 30 or 40 Bibles that her dad left. So, anyway.
All right.
I mean, I am kind of into language. I took medical terminology before I went off to, I went to acupuncture college for a year, and then I got pregnant because of all the Chinese herbs I was on. I blame the guy that, you know, gave me those herbs. You know, it's a joke. I worked for him, and I go, he's got the best herbs. Look at me. He got, because of him, at almost 40 years old, I'm pregnant. No. And he turned 10 shades of red. You know. So anyway, I dropped out of acupuncture school and then got a certificate to do ear acupuncture and help people get off of drugs that way. So anyway, all right then, I'll send you that. That guy, and please let me know after listening to one or two of his how you feel, because I totally trust you, you know, and your way of thinking. So.
Okay. Very good.
All righty. Have a blessed afternoon.
Yeah. Bless. Take care.
Thank you for being there. Now I know how to get in. So. All right.
All right.
Bye bye.
Bye-bye. All right, ladies and gentlemen, and again, that was Jennifer out there in New Mexico and Russ up in Ohio, our callers today. And we got a little bit of a slowdown here on my software. So once again, hopefully it's not interfering with the stream. Let me... Yep, it's definitely slowing down now, so give it a second here. I don't know what's happening. Okay, wow. Alrighty. These computers, I don't know if they're doing things to us on purpose or if this is just normal software glitching. It is an older computer, so I guess it is possible that... some of this is due to that. I'll probably upgrade my travel computer at some point here in the future. A lot of things going on, and as Russ and and Jennifer were talking about and the things that we talked about earlier in the program, it is a crazy, crazy time for everybody. So now is when the strength of relationships to each other and to our Heavenly Father are going to be extremely important as we go forward, because the insanity is not over yet, folks. Just unbelievable what we've already been through, and yet we're not through it yet. So be prepared. Stay flexible, as we used to say in the military all the time. You have to stay flexible. These are uncertain times. Stay grounded in truth. Stay grounded in our Father and His Word. Stay grounded in each other, which is the network of our believers. Truth seekers is what I like to say. If people don't like the word believers in Yahshua or any of that, then how about just be truth tellers and truth seekers? Because after all, that's what the Father said was very, very important. Why did He bring the condemnation against our ancestors, and when He predicted at the end of the age why He would bring these punishments and judgments against us? It was because we failed to be truth seekers. All right? So that should give you a clue as to where your salvation in this day and age is going to come from: the truth. And He said, I am the truth and the way and the life. Truth, truth, truth. And seek it. And if somebody tells you there is no such thing as truth, run from them. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give You the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank You for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters. We thank You for the technology that allows us to do this. When it is used for the proper things, it is a wonderful tool. For those that misuse it, those that spread lies and propaganda and use it to spy on others and to commit crimes against humanity, we pray a curse upon them in precatory prayer, that they be cursed from the tops of their heads to the tips of their toes. All those who refuse the truth, all those who refuse You, we pray in precatory prayer against them. I don't care who they are. Either they love You or they don't. Either they love the truth or they don't. There is no middle ground. It's one or the other. Help us and guide us in all that we say and do. Forgive us our sins, Father Yahweh. Build us up and encourage us, and pour out Thy Spirit upon us. Give us good discernment. And always protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name we pray. Hallelujah.